I've said this before, it's actually not about bricks and mortar, and I can absolutely understand the impact of the closure of a Garda station or any other institution in a local area, and particularly in a rural area where people may feel isolated. But it is about our members being out there engaging with the community. And as I said earlier, some of the feedback that we got from the community is that they actually want to have the guards going out and travelling out to meet them. You know, some people aren't able to come into the local Garda station. So our focus is very much on having our members out there engaging with the community, that the community actually don't have to come to an office, that the offices are there if they wish to come. And certainly in terms of making sure that people are out there, the investment in the transport has greatly assisted in that regard, and we're making sure that those vehicles are allocated to the places of most need.
Deputy Doctor.
Yeah, the second question then is in relation to the British Irish Parliamentary Assembly. Commissioner carried out an extensive examination of cross-border criminality over the course of a year. They met with senior police officers and Garda Síochána and PSNI. They met with the various local authorities and a range of agencies across the border. And at the end of that, one of their key 16 recommendations is, and it was an excellent report, I have to say, one of them was the establishment of a cross-border task force to tackle criminality, which were made up of Garda Síochána, the PSNI, and the two revenue organisations on the island. Now, I'm fully aware that there is very solid cooperation between Garda Síochána and PSNI, and indeed that policing conference recently around that. But do you support in principle the proposal for a cross-border task force?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy. And thank you for acknowledging the excellent levels of cooperation that already exist, because we have a unique working relationship with the Police Service of Northern Ireland and a very effective working relationship with them. As you mentioned, we already have two task forces in place, and it is more than just ourselves and the PSNI. We have the joint task force in relation to fuel smuggling, and we also have the joint task force in relation to tobacco smuggling. And they are multi-agency. And as I mentioned in my opening address, there is no doubt about it that the complexities of the border require a multi-agency response. It requires a multifaceted response as well. So certainly in terms of the levels of cooperation, how we can build on that, the conference that you mentioned, again, is a multi-agency conference that we hold every year. It's a cross-border conference. And the purpose and the objective is that to look at new ways of working together. So we're always looking for new ways to build on the excellent levels of cooperation that are there. And we're certainly willing to engage with any. I'm very aware that there are talks going on at the moment, and we're certainly very willing to engage with whatever the product of those discussions would be.
Thanks, Chairman. The final question is in relation to the Garda Inspectorate carried out two reports in recent years. The first one around the issue of fixed penalty points, and the second one, which was a three-year milestone investigation into investigation of crime. Now, I welcome the fact, Commissioner, that yourself and indeed the Minister for Justice both endorsed fully both reports, and I understand there's working groups in place to implement the recommendations. So can you update this committee from your perspective? Now, I have to say the language of trust is really good. It's a very solid development. So I assume that reflects your response to some of the issues raised in the Garda Inspectorate's report.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Deputy, it does. It's not just the report number 10, which, as you say, was a report carried out over a number of years. Some of the issues that were identified in report number 10 of the Garda Inspectorate in relation to crime investigation had been identified in previous reports, and due to the constraints that were in place, they couldn't be implemented. But what we did, as I mentioned earlier, was we took all of those issues. We wanted to make sure that all of the over 700 recommendations of all of the reports, 280 which were included in the report number 10, that we looked at them, we identified them, and that we found a practical way of implementing them in a phased basis that would achieve the desired outcome. And we're very confident that policing and security with trust, and we spent quite a long time ourselves over the last 9 months. We haven't been sitting still, but we've been putting it together. We wanted to make sure that we could implement it in a meaningful way that the community would actually begin to see. And I suppose, and I mentioned in my opening statement, over the last 9 months, what we take some comfort in, but we don't take complacency in it, is the fact that trust levels and confidence levels in Garda Síochána have increased. In April 2014, the Irish Times conducted a survey where trust levels in Garda Síochána were at 67%. We've commissioned a public attitude survey through an independent research company, and certainly the last three quarter surveys would show and indicate that trust levels have gone back up to 84%. So we take some comfort from that, insofar as that the things that we have been doing, we haven't been waiting just to have our programme and the launch of our programme. As I mentioned, the victim service office, a number of other things we've been implementing along the way, and we believe that in some way contributes to that turnabout.